The title of this morning's address is called The Purpose of Life. And the thought came to me when I saw that reading Eimear sent. Some years ago, Gay Byrne used to host a popular television program called The Meaning of Life. In it, well-known personalities share their life experiences and their spiritual beliefs with the audience. And the program always ended with Gay Byrne posing the question, what if you die and found out that St. Peter was actually waiting at the pearly gates? What will you say to him? Most of us were brought up in the belief that the purpose of life was to get through those pearly gates. And to get through the gates, we knew that we needed to follow certain teachings of a church. Avoid evil, do good, and believe articles of faith. I know many of you were told that having faith in Jesus was the golden ticket to get beyond the pearly gates. Certainly as a child, I was told that this life is a vale of tears, a time of trial, a time just to be endured until you got to the pearly gates. And we would be sustained in the knowledge that suffering in this life would be rewarded when we die. That at death, all injustice and inequality will be wiped away. And that was the only story most of us heard. I remember as teenagers, we whispered about people who declared themselves to be atheist. Imagine, we said, they believed that this death was the end and there was no God. We just close our eyes and go to sleep. Gay asked, what if Peter and the Pearly Gates story is true? I ask, what if that story is not true? What if there is no one to reward us for believing in a creed? Also, what if the atheists are wrong, that there is something different? Human beings have always speculated about our origins and our destiny after this life. Human beings are always different, and so there are many different explanations about the origins of life and our destiny after death. And, of course, whether or not there is purpose to life and what is that purpose. And these varied explanations that exist cluster in different parts of the world. So in Asia and India, the predominant belief is in reincarnation. In the Middle East, Islamic beliefs predominate. The story prevalent in the Western world is that this life is a once-off test set for us by God, with the pearly gates waiting for us when we die. I have to say that even as a child, I found that story, that explanation, strange. I remember being told that what awaited us after the pearly gates was what was called, in my world, the beatific vision, that we would be happy ever, forever and ever looking at the beatific vision. And I thought, at some stage, that's going to get boring. I really did. I had my doubts even then. Eastern philosophy say that we are destined to live many lives. Each life will be shaped by our deeds in a previous existence. The ancient Greeks tell a story that before birth, each soul makes their decision about what life experience and events they want to have. That it's a personal choice, everything we experience. And that we chose because we feel we need to learn a particular lesson from the present life experience. And the sting is that if we fail to learn that lesson, then we are destined to repeat it over and over until we do learn the lesson. Some people believe that this life is simply an accident of evolution and that there's no ultimate purpose to life. And whatever scenario we believe in, it really depends on your background and your personality. What we believe is not that important. What is important is how we live the life. We in this community have the freedom to follow whatever speaks to our heart and our reason. We don't impose beliefs on people. Belief is personal and ultimately of no importance, provided we respect the beliefs of other people. But how we live and our attitude is important. We find purpose for our individual life. We allocate meaning to our experiences. So deciding on your life purpose is important. And I think it's important to remember that it's not a once-off choice. We don't sit down when we're late teens and decide the purpose of my life is X. It is decisions we make moment by moment, day by day. Rabindranath Tagore is one of India's greatest writers and poets. And I found some words that really sang to me during the week that he wrote. And there's a sadness in this verse. It says, "The song I have come to sing remains unsung to this day. I have spent my life stringing and unstringing my instrument." Imagine reaching the end of your life and realizing that you had never sung your song. In finding our purpose in life, it makes sense, of course, to test the wisdom of sages throughout the ages. You know, there's no need for us to invent the wheel. We may dismiss the religious beliefs of childhood, but perhaps there are other possibilities that speak true to us. Wise people have found different spiritual paths, and among all the choices, there should be one to suit us all. And reason, of course, is the only guide in making the choice. Test beliefs and accept or reject their truth based on your experience. Don't follow a path because someone else tells you. Test it. If you find it true, then you take the next step on the path. If the next step proves incorrect, then you leave it. Don't follow anything because of a book or someone's authority. If the story of Peter and the pearly gates is not true, what other story may belief may we hold? It is the very nature of life that sadness and suffering exist. Everyone admits they have encountered moments of sadness. But that's not what the Buddha thought. The Buddha said that joy, not sorrow, is the natural condition of life. And from the Western mindset, this seems obvious that suffering is woven into life. Everyone has experienced loss, sickness, grief, and pain. But is this because our perspective, our thinking is wrong? What if the purpose of life is finding happiness? Not just moments of happiness, but permanent happiness. From childhood, we are conditioned to seek happiness in possessions, in social positions, in status. And this is the path we follow. And on that path, without time, there are times of happiness. We do find some happiness. But this happiness is always tinged with the knowledge that every single thing is transitory. We know our happiness will end. And even if we don't know it, we fear that it will end. If happiness is the natural condition of life, why then is lasting happiness so elusive? One of the reasons why wealth, position, and social status are seeking power do not bring permanent happiness is that when we seek those things, we are only interested in our own self positions. If I'm seeking power or wealth or money or anything like that, it's all relative, because if you get more power than me, I lose out. I'm not winning here, if you like to think of it that way. They're all just looking at our self-interest. And when we look only at our self-interest, we cannot be happy. So the beginning of happiness comes when we concern ourselves with the interests of other people. I think sometimes we think that the interests of other people are an add-on for us to look after when we are comfortable in ourselves. It may seem to be a contradiction, but caring for the well-being of others brings happiness. But when we concern ourselves with the well-being of others, we are making a connection with people. And we are meant to be connected to one another. We are not meant to be isolated beings. We are connected, and we are connected to other people, to the earth, and to our soul. We are beginning to find happiness. Another reason why happiness may elude us is that we refuse to accept the reality of our lives. And one of the great realities is that everything is impermanent, that change is the only constant. And if we don't accept this fundamental truth, we're destined to suffer. It's very difficult to accept that everything is impermanent. Absolutely everything, that we're all, even since we came in here this morning, we have all changed. We're all half an hour older than we were. We don't see those little changes, but they're happening. A wonderful wise woman called Beatrice, a woman who experienced many changes in her life, said, "God never closed one door, but she opened at least a dozen others." The trouble is that we refuse to go through the other doors. That was Beatrice's explanation for our suffering, that we refused. We are like children banging on the door that is closed, refusing to look at the other doors, and so we are suffering. So we have to accept life the way it is, not the way we think it should be, but the way it is. Another secret to happiness is to know that it is found only in the present moment, when our attention is focused on the here and now. This is what we call waking up. Most of us daydream to our lives. Babies and children live in the present moment. But as we grow, we live in the past or the future or we daydream about if things and life were different. Longing for the past, wishing something were different. To find happiness, we need to learn to spend more time in the present moment, because neither the past nor the future exist. And that's something we need to remember. The past and the future are not real. The only reality is now. And as in this morning's reading, our thoughts are perhaps the greatest barrier to our happiness. I bet that at one time here, every person here has had a sleepless night. A night when thoughts whirled through your mind, destroying its peace and preventing you from sleeping. And you try to clear your mind and relax, and it doesn't work. That's a real example of how thoughts shape our reality. And thoughts don't exist. They're just something that flits through your brain. Most of the time, we're unaware of those thoughts that are in our mind. And yet, they make us suffer. I'm sure another experience many of you will have had is that you just find yourself not in the best of form, and you realize you're mulling over some old barney you had with somebody or some grief in your life, and you realize, this is really making me sad now, but this happened in the past. But you find that thought has invaded your head and you're not even conscious of it. You just know that you're not happy. So it is important that we get acquainted with what's happening in our heads. To notice your thoughts. To bring your mind into the present. And to be happy. It's important that we find our purpose in life. To ask yourself, are you fulfilling that purpose? Because living the purpose of your life will bring you great joy. And remember that finding happiness in your life is not luck. It's not in the lap of the gods. It's in your control. There is no one to blame. Amen.